Gordon to the left, Little and Best to the right. In the backfield, Bobby Rainey. Here's Hoyer out of the shotgun. Plenty of time, going long. Gordon's wide open. Caught it. 10-5. Touchdown. Welcome back, Josh Gordon.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hoyer's got it. Right corner of the end zone. Jordan Cameron's got it. Touchdown.
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
It is Tuesday, yet we are only 2 days away from the next Cleveland Browns game as they play national TV Thursday night, First Energy Stadium, against the Buffalo Bills. The Browns looking to go to 3-2 in that game. And to help us get everything ready for that game, Mary Kay Cabot will be here today at 1:30 p.m. Eastern. In the second hour, we'll also hear from Chris Obanai, who was one of our unsung heroes in the game. The victory over the Cincinnati Bengals, caught a touchdown in that game, ran the ball effectively, blocked, did a lot of good things. Jameer Howerton will be inside the locker room with him. And then also Gerard Cherry will stop by in the second hour. But Vic, we got a special guest from the NFL Network coming by here at 2 o'clock as well, because this is a big national game and people are fired up about the Browns.
Yeah, we call it the walk-up in the business, right? The walk-up to the big event. So NFL Network has one of its army of reporters already landed here in Berea. He is Omar Ruiz, and if you watch NFL Network, you see him cover everything, I mean, throughout the NFL map for them. So they've got him here, and he is doing reports now right through Thursday as a lead-up to the game. He's going to join us about 2 o'clock to talk about some of the storylines, because I'll tell you what, the Browns have all of a sudden become a very interesting national team. Cleveland, as a story, as a sports town right now, a very interesting national story. People are all fired up, of course,
yeah,
as they should be, about the Tribe, the wild card playoff game tomorrow night at Progressive, talking about that and talking about the following night, another primetime situation with Browns and Bills and two wins in a row and a lot of excitement in different areas. This defense is legit. Maybe the quarterback is legit. Lots of discussion on every national platform you can imagine about this team.
Yeah, and it's great. Listen, Cleveland is the epicenter of the sports world right now, Notorious. You got the Browns Thursday night national TV, the Tribe Wednesday night, hopefully taking care of business against the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. So, yeah, it is a big week. And when you look at all of a sudden, a team that was 0-2 has a very realistic possibility to go to 3-2. And we'll get through our path to victory in this game. But I think it is certainly feasible. And I say the Browns are the favorite in this game. And not only I say it, Las Vegas says it. And I think most NFL people would agree. They are the favorite in this game. I think the Cleveland Browns have absolutely what it takes to take advantage of. By the way, they're catching the Bills at the right time.
Oh, yeah.
Fred Jackson, sprained MCL. CJ Spiller, an ankle injury. Their secondary won't be able to get back to healthy on the short turnaround. So this is a team right now that is beaten up pretty good, that has struggled to go on the road thus far this year, and I think that they will get a very, very strong performance from the Browns here on the short week.
Without a doubt. I think the two things that these teams can look at and say, this is our chance, this is our best way to win this game. For the Browns and the Bills, it's very similar. It starts with their respective front sevens. And I think for the sake of the Browns, as they prepare for this Bills team, you're looking at a front seven. We've seen it do some great tormenting of some pretty good quarterbacks so far and put them in rough spots and make it difficult for them. The Miami Dolphins, before they lost their game last night, were undefeated, starting with that win against the Browns and Ryan Tannehill's performance. And still, I think the Browns did a fair share to make life difficult for him on the way to a Dolphin victory. And then following that up at Baltimore with Joe Flacco, they found just enough place to win. But again, it wasn't easy, and it starts, as it has started in every game, with the ability to shut down that run. So with a banged-up Buffalo backfield, I'm thinking this front seven could do some things to E.J. Manuel to make that rookie feel very uncomfortable under the bright lights. Flipping it over, I look at this Marcell Dareus. I look at this Bills front with Marcell Dareus, Mario Williams and company, Kyle Williams. They will be a handful for a struggling Browns offensive line. That has been the piece to this Browns team,
right,
that I think raises the most questions. If we believe the secondary kind of got its house in order last week, a couple of days ago against the Bengals, I think I think it's fair to say that the Browns O-line still is working on getting its house in order.
And it will, hopefully. You know, Laval getting closer, returning. Maybe he gets an opportunity to play in there. Joe Thomas is playing well. They did a good enough job, though. I mean, they've won the last two games, and they've played better the last 2 weeks. The Browns' offensive line, you know, in the first 2 weeks, gave up 11 sacks. That is tough to win when you give up 11 sacks. Then they gave up 3 against Minnesota, and they were down to 3 again this week against Cincinnati. So you can live with that. You can live with 3. You can't live with 5-6. Now, the sack leader in the NFL, at least going into last week, was Mario Williams, so you know he can get to the quarterback. Yes, they need to do a good job of keeping Brian Hoyer upright, but again, it helps the fact that he gets the ball out as quick as any quarterback in the National Football League at 2.4 seconds.
Exactly, and that will be, to me, when you put two relatively inexperienced quarterbacks side by side in terms of total starts now, when you look at E.J. Manuel, he's making career start number 5, right, for him?
Yep.
And Brian Hoyer is making career start number 4. And ironically, when you put it together, Brian Hoyer's been in the league 5 years. The other guy has been in the league now, this will be 5 weeks.
5 weeks.
So
he's five
officially,
for five.
He's five, yeah, as far as starts go. And although I know there's a difference, there's a huge difference being around and learning and absorbing, which is what Brian Hoyer has done. We're talking a lot about what he clearly would have picked up in those 3 seasons with Tom Brady and the whole Patriot way that I think he has brought here. I think there's something to be said for that. Don't want to overplay that because it's a different team, a different situation, and Tom Brady is a different person. You can't necessarily say, well, just because you're around him, you take in his greatness. Just because you're around Peyton Manning, you know what? I was around Peyton Manning. I'm great now as a quarterback.
So is Jim Sorgi, and he's not in the league anymore.
So let's kind of pump the brakes a little bit on the excitement over that. But it does matter that a smart guy learns from smart people. A smart guy learns from those around him. Sometimes the smartest thing that a smart guy learns is what not to do from the people that he's been around. But in the case of Brian Hoyer, there's a lot that he's applying. In many ways, when you talk with him, you get the feeling he's still that Patriot in terms of how he goes about his business, how he keeps his focus, how he wants to, again, dial down the euphoria and the distraction.
Perspective,
our favorite word on this show. Because as a Cleveland guy, surrounded by Cleveland family, Cleveland friends, all obviously wanting a piece of what is going on here to be part of this joy that is this hometown hero story, it can then become an impediment. And Brian recognizes that. I think he gets that. And I think of all the things he's done, and he's done so many that we could say we admire. I admire that the most.
Yeah, I love that. And it's good because it's 2 games. There is still so much more to accomplish. Only a quarter of the season has been played by the Cleveland Browns. And he realizes in this, especially in this day and age, in this media day and age, where everything is a reaction and then an overreaction and an overreaction to the reaction, every week you're basically on referendum. If he comes out and lays an egg in any one of these games, it's going to say, oh, here we go again, you know? Right. So Brian Hoyer, I think, is very focused and very wisely focused on the task at hand. He should get a break. Now, it didn't help Joe Flacco, who threw 5 interceptions against this defense, but the defensive secondary of the Bills will be banged up. Vertical receivers have absolutely abused them. 3 receivers, though, they're 100 yards and a touchdown in just the last 2 games against this team. So I think Josh Gordon is going to have a big day. Jordan Cameron is always having a big day. So I think that when you look at this matchup for Brian Hoyer, if it was a Sunday, you'd say, this guy's going to have monster numbers. We're going to do well. Typically on the Thursday games, quarterbacks struggle. The teams don't get enough time to properly implement a game plan. It's a little bit dicey. But I think Brian Hoyer knows what he has to do. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think it's going to be much to win this game because Steve Johnson will be completely taken out of the game by Joe Hayden. Robert Woods, he's a good young receiver, but he doesn't scare me yet. They don't have a tight end. They don't have an air back right now with Spiller and Jackson hobbled. So they don't really have any of the pieces that make you nervous on the offensive side of the football. If the Browns take care of the ball, this should be an easy Browns victory on Thursday night.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be easy in any possible way.
I'm more optimistic.
I hear what you're saying. I'm optimistic about a win. Okay. Let's be clear about that. But I am not as optimistic of it being as it sounds to you. Sounds to me like you're saying kind of lopsided or easy.
I think if the Browns score 20 points, they win for sure. I don't think the Bills get the 20 against them.
And 20 hasn't been easy for this team to come by.
Let's, but it should be this week.
Don't make it sound like it's routine for the Browns to put up 20. And again, that front seven, I think, will cause some issues for Brian Hoyer because it's going to cause some issues for this line. It is playing better. I still have concerns about the interior. I have big concerns about not just one, but both guard spots. John Greco
and the right guard. He has not been great.
And I thought John, while he had made some strides from the preseason, I thought through the first few games, struggled, particularly against the Bengals. Again, not exactly a terrible disgrace because that Bengals front seven's good.
It is very good
people there. You know, they do bring it. And then the right guard spot with O'Neal Cousins, we know what an issue that's been. But having said all that, I do think the Browns win. I think the thing that will make it difficult, you made an excellent point about what we don't see on Thursday nights, and what we don't see on Thursday nights is a whole lot in the way of perfection or clean football because teams don't get to practice much. It's a disruptive week, and I know a lot's made of that, and I think people may roll their eyes and get tired. Hey, they're just getting ready to play a football game. Go play the football game, and enough with the overhyping of practice. But
it does not work out that way.
It doesn't work that way. Football is very much a routine, creatures of habit. And when you're telling players that Monday is like Wednesday and Tuesday's like Thursday, because that's what the schedule is. Today is Thursday to these teams in their normal football calendar.
Right.
And they're going harder today than they did the day before as far as running around. Rob Chudzinski was talking about this on the show yesterday. And then you're going to dial it back down again. Tomorrow's the day before, and you're doing mostly walk-through or jog-through. You don't have a lot of time to determine how well plays are absorbed or executed. And then your health issues. Jabal Sheard, not able to practice today, but could end up playing depending on how things go. And you've got to make that call based on seeing very little physical movement by him. That's an example of the challenge that you have here. And then the backup quarterback thing with Brandon Whedon, that too is up in the air because – again, your coaching staff wants to say, okay, he's medically cleared to play, but how much do we get to see of him?
Right, and decisions need to be rushed. The good news is the Browns are at home. I think that's a little bit of an advantage. Now, it's not a huge road trip for the Buffalo Bills, and obviously the 49ers went into St. Louis and shellacked them, but the Browns right now have momentum. They're at home. I think it helps with the routine, even though it's different. I also think that these Thursday night games, and you and I have talked about this, Vic, if you can get a little bit of momentum early, and we talked about how important it was to get up on the Bengals early, if they can get up on the Bills early, sometimes I feel like on these Thursday night games, if a team starts getting beaten up a little bit in the first half, they just fold up and say, we're still sore from last Sunday. We don't want any piece of this. Let's just get this game over with. And we saw that with the St. Louis Rams, I think, completely, 100%. It was evident on last Thursday night with the Niners going in there and kicking the Rams in the teeth. So I think that this Browns team, when we talked about the attitude, the swagger, the hit them in the mush mentality of this defense, and I think that bodes very, very well because if the Browns can come out, get on the lead, be physical on defense, I think this game could be much easier than perhaps you think it will be ultimately. I don't think it's going to be a game where the Browns are going to score 35 and win a 30. They're just not built that way like a New Orleans Saints team can blow somebody out. But I do think that they will be able to be very much in control of a game that will ultimately end up closer than it actually was.
I so hope you're right. I don't want to sit through
victory
and,
formation
and be nervous. I want victory. I want the victory formation, you know, with
third quarter,
4 minutes to go, third quarter, halftime. Be nice. I think they're going to have to work at it because goofy things probably will happen. It's Thursday night.
They do.
How do young guys react to the lights? How do they react to playing under those prime time lights? You're the only game in town from an NFL standpoint, and all eyes are on you. By the way, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. We want those barks from the dog pound. We want the tweet barks as well at Browns_daily. You know, I got to say, Dave DiNatale, our tremendous producer, we got to get a stronger dog than that.
Somebody tweeted me about that yesterday.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Don't complain. You know, right
I got a dog that's like about 15 pounds, and he sounds more vicious.
And he's bringing more ruckus than that dog.
Yeah, you met him. You met.
I have.
He almost took you out.
He did. The coach was like, "Hey, what are you doing in here?" I'm like, "Coach, it's cool."
Let's see here.
I'm like, "It's all good, bro."
Now, how about this one? Now that's one we've been using. There is the
much better.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. A little growl. There we go.
Just something that has a little more passion.
A little edge.
Because that's what the fans are confident now. The fans are getting. I don't know if they're fully in, but they're at least a leg in. They put more than a toe
in. Right? I think they're sitting on the side. Both legs are in the pool. They're soaking in. They got a cocktail in their hand. They're feeling good.
So at Browns underscore daily, at N-A-T-H-A, yeah, N-A-T-H-A-N-Z-E-G-U-R. I got it. That's you and me at V-I-C-C-A-R-U-C-C-I. So get aboard with that. And by the way, we got to mention this, and we can't mention this enough. The excitement and pageantry of Thursday Night Football is coming to Cleveland this Thursday night when the Browns take on the Bills. It's 8:25 p.m. at First Energy Stadium, presented by Cleveland Clinic, including a halftime honoring the big guy, number 32, Jim Brown.
Awesome.
That is going to be huge. For available tickets, call 1-800-745-3000 or visit clevelandbrowns.com. I had the pleasure last week of joining Jim down in Canton at the Pro Football Hall
so
of Fame.
Cool.
So we've put together a two-part piece for our website, for clevelandbrowns.com. Part one was posted yesterday. It's still up there if you want to check it out. Part two is being posted today. And basically, we walked and talked. It was the feel of it is really neat. We're standing outside the hall, then we're kind of walking around the hall, and it's surreal. You're walking through the Hall of Fame. Basically, you could call it Jim Brown's house. I'll go as far as say the house he built. If he's the best player in the history of the NFL, which many will argue that he is, then he's walking through the hall. And he's the living bronze statue of bronze statues, except that his wasn't there that day, which was kind of cool, the statue, because
that's
it was
right.
on loan to Showtime for the piece that ran last week. But I think it's back there now, but they had a little placeholder for it. So we kind of walked over there and in the room with all the bronze statues, and he's taken it all in. And you know what struck me? He loved being there, and he hadn't been there in a while, and he admitted that. And, of course, he's got a home in L.A.,
right.
but he's been in Cleveland a lot. It meant a lot to him, I think, to be there. It wasn't like a euphoria cartwheel feel, but it was the pride of just being there, and you could sense it. And I love sharing
awesome.
That moment with him. Yeah, I of many things I've done that I'll put in the cool category, that is one of the coolest.
I, when you told me about it, I said, man, that had to be cool. And I remember we talked about it. I said, that's got to be somewhat powerful, even for a guy like Jim Brown to be there and to have it right here in Ohio. And it's very cool. I can't wait to see everything that goes down Thursday night. And I'm thrilled that I get to go to this game. I'm going to be at this game. This is going to be the first Browns game that I get to see in person this year. So I'm very excited about that.
Let's explain. On Sundays, you are with CBS Sports in New York. So
doing a show. That other pregame show, Tops on CBS Sports Network from 9 to 1 every Sunday. So, yeah, I'm in
Plug
New
that.
York. Yeah, in New
so,
York.
But the beautiful – we got to tell people, what do you do in New York? Where you're texting with me.
That's right.
We're going back and forth about
the game. We get a little hype before
watching.
The game.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
Where we talk before the game, during the game. So we keep our dialogue and conversation going. It's awesome. All about football. All right, we are going to get this thing rolling and continuing with bottom of the hour is when Mary Kay Cabot of the Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, is going to join us.
It's going to be great. We'll get more of Cleveland Browns Daily 2 days away from game time on ESPN 850 WKR, driven by Liberty Ford.